This is Marketplace. I'm Kristen Schwab. General Electric has been a big piece of American business for 132 years. So big that it's almost hard to remember all of the industries the company has touched. It's made televisions and light bulbs and has even provided home mortgages. But that is the past, because GE is entering a new phase. Last month, it split into three separate companies, a wind power business, an aerospace firm, and a healthcare company. Marketplace's Sabri Benishore looks back at GE's long history.
The first spoken words in human history to be recorded and replayed were from a nursery rhyme recited by Thomas Edison in 1877. The original recording was destroyed, but Edison re-recorded it decades later.
Mary had a little lamb, its fleece was white as snow, and everywhere that Mary went, the lamb was sure to go.
5 years after inventing the phonograph, in 1892, one of Thomas Edison's companies merged with another electric company to form General Electric. It wasn't actually Edison's idea. It was J.P. Morgan's, the original J.P. Morgan, like the guy. GE ushered in the age of electricity, and it was big from the get-go.
You have to think of it as sort of the Microsoft, Google, Apple of its time.
William D. Cohen is author of Power Failure, The Rise and Fall of an American Icon. Edison was a better inventor than a businessman and was quickly sidelined from leading the new company, but it continued to create.
In the 1910s and 1920s, it quickly became a powerhouse of invention, innovation.
GE inventors developed radio broadcasts and an electric car. In the 20s, GE got into home appliances. By the 60s, it was making plastics and silicones for the boots and helmets and the moon landing. It also got into the credit business.
It had started during the Depression to help people buy GE products that they couldn't otherwise afford.
By the middle of the 20th century, GE became seen as ubiquitous because it was.
At General Electric, progress is our most important product.
GE had a long and tense history with unions from the beginning. And its desire to escape unions helped drive the company in 1956 to move its computing department out of what would become Silicon Valley and into Phoenix, Arizona. Elizabeth Tandy Shermer is a professor of history at Loyola University.
Phoenix, Arizona has anti-union laws with a more favorable labor and tax policy.
That decision proved fateful. The company that made everything from A to Z ended up losing out on C, computers.
Because the GE computing was so removed from that hotbed of computer innovation, they really got left behind.
But by 1999, GE employed 340,000 people worldwide, nearly 200,000 of them in the U.S. It was still the quintessential conglomerate, and there was a rationale for that.
And this was this notion that some degree of the research would be shared across these industries.
Ted Mann is co-author of Lights Out, Pride, Delusion, and the Fall of General Electric. He's also a reporter at Bloomberg. He says while one tentacle of GE could theoretically help out the others, it could also bring them all down. GE's financial arm almost did both. Under GE's most famous CEO, Jack Welch, GE Capital had exploded.
That grew into what was essentially the seventh biggest bank in the country.
At one point, generating 50% of GE's earnings. When the great financial crisis hit, it began to implode and nearly took all of GE with it before being bailed out along with the too-big-to-fail banks. William D. Cohen.
Right then is when things really began to change.
Under CEO Jeff Immelt, GE sold off NBC Universal to help pay for the fallout of the Great Recession and return to its industrial roots. GE Capital was spun off. GE's different industrial tentacles were chafing at being tied to one another. Again, Ted Mann.
There was a realization that the only way for these companies to thrive and survive was to separate it all.
It took two more CEOs to accomplish that. By 2021, General Electric's headcount in the U.S. had fallen by almost 75% from its peak. And finally, in April of this year, GE split apart into a wind power company, a healthcare company, and an aerospace company. It is no longer the great ubiquitous conglomerate whose products touched both Earth and Moon.
It was this incredible industrial company and built truly incredible things. And so it does feel like we're never going to see a company that looks like that again.
It's a reminder that even the greatest of companies don't have fate on their side forever. In New York, I'm Sabri Benishore for Marketplace.